When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Criminality, the podcast we started because loving reality TV isn't a crime. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Oh, I'm alive. I'm so happy to be recording with you. Yeah, it's been a little longer than it usually is.
It's been a while.
Yeah, so I'm good, but last week, not so much. We had to take a little time off. You had some internet issues. I had some COVID issues, but happy to report I'm recovering well.
Yeah, not tired at all.
Oh no, I'm not exhausted. I mean, I'm like as white as this sweatshirt I'm wearing. I'm always pretty white, extra white today.
I do see tape covering or holding up your eyebrows to keep your eyelids open. Not sure if that was a personal choice or.
I just really thought it would be disrespectful to fall asleep while recording with you.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Nothing super exciting, which is good to me. But you, on the other hand, were at CrimeCon. How was CrimeCon?
I was. It was really fun. I do think it might be just maybe how I picked up COVID because there were 6,000 people at the Paris Hotel. But I have to say it was really great this year. It was a huge turnout and great to reunite with podcasting friends, great to meet dialogue listeners. And I want to say a shout out to Susan, who came up to our table, who is a listener of this podcast, Criminality. Yay. And we got a picture with her, and she's a big Moms of Murder fan too. So it was very fun and very sweet to meet her. But really, it was just all around great. Might have gotten a kiss from Paul Holes on stage.
I've seen that video several times.
Exactly. Go to my TikTok and my Instagram. You can see it too. But no, there were some big highlights. It was super fun. I worked a lot, but I had a good time, but I came home and I pretty much within a day got sick.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you were like, my throat's burning. Maybe it's from being outside in Vegas. I'm like, I don't know that I've heard that, but maybe.
well, that and like there's people smoke. It's like fine to smoke indoors in Las Vegas. And I am not used to that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So the casino is just full of smoke, and that's where like the restaurants and the lobby is. So I just assumed it was from smoke. And then like when it just wasn't going away and it became hard to breathe and I couldn't smell, I'm like, or maybe.
There's another option.
Yes. But yeah, I'm very grateful that I'm totally fine, going to be just A-okay, and I'm happy to be home. I did get a quick minute at Vanderpump's new restaurant in Vegas. So that was fun. We popped in for a quick drink and we wanted food, but the kitchen was closed. I went with Jamie from Murderish Podcast and Shiloh from LA Not So Confidential. So that was fun and weird.
Yeah.
It's an optical illusion, weird, that place.
Yeah. There's a lot of, how much pink was there? It seemed to be more purple. Was that one more purple?
The lighting was moody. And yeah, it was like a little on like the dark. It was like a glamorous dungeon. It was like, definitely more in the
dungeon.
Yeah, like when you were out of the restaurant looking in, it looked so pretty. When you were in, it didn't look as pretty. So it was like very much like smoke and mirrors, like come in, it's so pretty, and then you're there, you're like meh. It was weird.
Yeah. And also just smoke because of where you were.
Just it might have been a haze of actual nicotine. So but yeah, it was really fun, and I don't need to leave my house for a very long time.
Yeah, true. That works.
Yeah.
I'm glad you had fun though. And I'm glad. Thanks. I love seeing your pictures and all the activities. You're like the queen of CrimeCon. I love it.
Oh my gosh. Sure.
I love it because I'm not you.
Yeah. I mean, it's all fun and games till, 2 days later. And truly, though, happy to be back. Excited to share today's story with you if you want to, I don't know, start.
Let's do it.
Okay. Now, it has been several weeks because we skipped a week and we're already like every 2 weeks since I gave the clues for this story. So I think we should just review those.
Yes.
We've got models. There's a few of them in this story, but primarily we're going to focus on one, a Ms. Yolanda Hadid Foster. But her daughters, Gigi and Bella, of course, will make appearances and they are all models. We had the second clue of music. There is a good amount of music because we have David Foster, who, do I need to David introduce Foster. Him? 16-time Grammy Award-winning music producer. And most recently in her life, Zayn Malik, the former One Direction singer slash artist, former boyfriend of Gigi, current co-parent to their daughter, Kai. And the third clue was Malibu, which is, of course, where Yolanda lived during her tenure on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And it's funny, I haven't titled this episode yet, but I could, as I wrote it, I thought of three more clues and they're all still with M's. It could be marriages, medical, and motherhood. But let me continue. So today's story is a little different from ones I've done in the past. There are a couple of crimes, but there's more like puzzling stories. You might say it's a little bit of a mystery.
Another M.
Oh my gosh. Okay, sorry. There's going to need to be a disclaimer on this episode. Like Rebecca has foggy.
I think the beginning of you announcing that you had COVID, I think people got it.
Okay, cool. So Yolanda Hadid to me is one of these people whose life is pretty A-list, even without her Real Housewives of Beverly Hills fame. She seemed destined to live in this upper stratosphere of life regardless. So, you know, her accent, her style, her refrigerator, you know about her refrigerator, right? It's got its own social media following.
Does it really?
Yeah. At Yolanda's Fridge on Instagram and Twitter. Okay. Yes. You have to look at it. I think there's a combined 20,000 followers between the two.
Oh my gosh.
But these marks of wealth were not always part of Yolanda's life. Yolanda was born Yolanda Vandenherik. I don't know.
You have to do a
probably. And stuff might come flying out if I do that. So not going today. And she was born in Holland in 1964. Her dad died in an accident when she was just 7 years old. And this really was a turning point for Yolanda. I think she's probably talked about it on the show and she's certainly talked about it publicly, where she feels this pressure and responsibility to help her mother care for the family. And she just develops a very strong work ethic, which I think was already present in her family, but it just amplifies this. They weren't poor, but they definitely were not rich. They were like working class comfortable. But she always had a taste for the finer things in life. And you could say extravagant things. She wanted a pony when she was a teenager and it was not something her family could afford, but she worked enough hours in a Chinese food restaurant to pay for and care for one herself.
That's amazing. So
it is amazing because we all wanted ponies. We did not all get them.
Yeah. Go and work. Forget it. Exactly. I'll watch My Little Pony. Thanks.
Precisely. So this is, of course, where her love of horses and riding begins. And she always wanted wealth and she ended up becoming like a hair and makeup person in the fashion industry. It's here that she was actually discovered by a model scout during a Dutch designer fashion show. Basically, one of the models, something happened and he needed a stand-in and beautiful Yolanda was there just doing hair. Yeah. And they were like, you go in. And as they say, the rest was history. I mean, Eileen Ford signed a contract with her shortly after. So she became a Ford model. And look, she's not the first and will not be the last to tell you just how hard modeling is. But I'm sorry, if you're qualified to be a model, like you're among the lucky ones. I'm not saying it's not hard work, but like just to be kind of plucked and chosen and put into that world is like a pretty lucky thing. So she starts traveling the world. She's doing runway shows, magazine shoots, and she made a complete career out of modeling in the 80s and 90s. And her whole goal was just to make enough money for herself to be financially independent and to take care of her mom and brother. At age 21, she did something really smart that I think most 21-year-olds who come into a ton of money don't do. And she bought a condo in LA and she sold it many, many years later for a ton of money. There's no listing. There's no details on like what she paid and what she got, but presumably this was a great investment. Her current net worth is $45 million. So we're going to explore also how her marriages, at least financially speaking, also helped build on her very strong financial foundation, which I do not want to take away from her. It was absolutely hers. So she decides after 15 years of modeling that she wants to get married and start a family. She meets and marries real estate developer Mohammed Hadid. And we all know Mohammed from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And of course, he is a good friend of Lisa and Ken Vanderpump. And together they have three children, all supermodels in the making, Gigi, Bella, and even Anwar, which that could be
a
title.
Is he a supermodel?
He's a model.
In the making?
Oh, is he? I don't know if he's a supermodel, but she eventually also manages to get him into modeling.
Okay. Well, that tracks.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a controversy. We'll talk about it. When we meet Yolanda on The Real Housewives, she's divorced from Mohammed, but they're friendly, co-parenting, and we also know he's good friends with Lisa, as I mentioned. So he's like in the mix, like not right in the mix, but you know, he's there. We're going to hear more about Mohammed in a minute, but let's talk about the Yolanda we meet on The Real Housewives. Melissa, I'd love to know, what was your first impression of her on The Real Housewives? And then what do you think of now when you think of Yolanda?
So I remember her coming on, but I don't remember her coming on. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember her being there, but I don't remember a big to-do, like when Denise was introduced or something.
Right.
I thought she was adorable. She seemed very more casual than the other women in the sense that, like, she would wear joggers and a t-shirt. And she
white jeans.
Was effortlessly adorable, right? Just beautiful. Everything about her. Currently, I don't really know that I have an opinion. The most lasting impression to me of Yolanda is the last scene when she was on there and she and David were separated and she's in that like cryo chamber.
Uh-huh.
And they like zoom out and you just see her looking like she's, what is her name? Veronica or Veruca from
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yes, yeah. And you're just like, oh my gosh. And so that's my permanent I think she's in there right now. I don't know if anybody ever let her out.
Has anyone checked on Yolanda? That's so true. She was so casual. There was like an effortless chicness to her. I feel like we use these words with one of our other, we were talking about like a Ralph Lauren model.
Maybe.
And she's got that same vibe. Lots of white jeans and like simple cashmere sweaters, you know, just always looking super chic. And you mentioned earlier the lemons. She's like, she had this like very, what's the word? Like alluring life, like this beautiful house in Malibu. And she would just go and pick her own lemons and make lemonade, like literally.
But you know, she didn't add sugar to it. So was it even that good? It was just lemonade.
No, it was a cleanse.
Yeah. Oh, true.
Lemonade.
My bad.
Yes. And what we also learn about Yolanda is that she really loves and values her role as mother. Some might say she's maybe just a tad controlling in that role and obsessed with making her kids famous, whether it's telling Gigi to eat a couple of almonds when she's hungry and just slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So
really savor those almonds.
You know, if you like linger long enough, you just won't even notice there's only two.
If you can keep some chunks in your teeth, you
for
can
later, eat them later. Like a chipmunk. Or flying to New York when Gigi gets her own apartment and gets her this luxury doorman building. And she brings those art tiles that she had everybody personally and lovingly make for Gigi's new apartment, the same in the same style as they had done in their house. It's like a lot. It's like, it's lovely sentiment, but when you're driving it so hard, it kind of can feel just like a touch overbearing.
Right. Like a, this is a piece of me. It's like Paul's mom giving a chunk of her hair. This is the, this is the Beverly Hills version of that.
It is exactly the perfect analogy. And it's like, I'm going to fly across the country and hang these up in your new place to ensure that you like love this gift so much that it happens. It's just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So it's not really clear that her kids want to be models. When we meet them in the show, they're like very happy playing sports and riding horses.
Yeah.
And they seem like they're cute. They've got good genes and you can see how like with the right hair and makeup and setting, like they can glam up and look stunning, but they're just like very normal-ish in the LA context, average kids. So we're not even sure they have models, but that is very much when it becomes a possibility, something that Yolanda herself really nurtures, fosters, and helps to make happen. Now, we find out in the show, probably I think in the last of her seasons, which is season 6, that Bella and Anwar also have Lyme disease. But even though she's saying they're sick, she still supports and encourages their path to modeling, regardless of the toll it's taking on their health. Because as we talked about, it is hard work. There are demanding shoot schedules, and it's a lot of travel. And it's a lot if you're not feeling your best. But more on the Lyme disease in a little bit. I want to pause here to discuss the kid's dad, Muhammad, because he could just be a side character and not a part of the story, but there's a lot of interesting elements to his work as a real estate developer that I just couldn't leave out. So he runs in a very wealthy circle, and Yolanda's divorce settlement with Muhammad was impressive. So not that she needed his money,
but take it if you can get it.
Yes. Now, they got married in 1994. They divorced in 2000. And according to thelist.com, her settlement was as follows. She got to keep their mansion in Santa Barbara worth $6 million, their Arabian horse, their business, Hadid Interiors, a Range Rover and Escalade, their Malibu home, and several bank accounts. As if that weren't enough.
Just bank accounts.
Just multiple bank accounts. I love the generality of that. I'd be like, are there any offshore? Are there
right.
Like, I'll take them all. She also received a one-time payout of $3.6 million in cash and was given $30,000 a month in child support for the three children, $10,000 apiece, and $10,000 a month in spousal support.
One of those things is more than I could ever dream of if I... get out of this house, but which I'm not. Sound like I was planning a move, but whoa, that's like the most, I'm not going to call it generous. I don't know what word to use there, but that's like she made out like a bandit.
It's very important. Our spouses don't listen to this show. We need to see to it. This never happens, because mine might find out that I would leave for so much less happily and quietly. And I don't need him to know that.
I'd be out of here tonight. Give me one of these bank accounts. Gone.
Okay. So as we've expressed, this is a very generous settlement, but Yolanda has this obsession with working really hard and saying she can't retire. And like, basically she's just going to work and work and work until she dies. And that's interesting too.
Yeah.
So now this payment she gets from Muhammad is until the kids are 21, right? So that's, time is ticking, because we meet them as teenagers.
Right.
So Yolanda is obsessed with her kids becoming financially independent at age 21. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I totally think that because that money is going to run out and she's not going to want to like dip in and be able to support them at that same level or want to, that she wants to make sure they're financially independent. Now, most kids that age, like if they're working, they're probably not like owning their own home and like fully able to cover everything in their life. So it's a very high bar that she sets for the kids.
No kidding.
And so I guess in that sense, I understand the modeling push, because you can make a ton of money. I won't add on to that. That is a statement with an ending. So back to Muhammad. He's a very successful real estate developer. He even outbid Donald Trump on various properties over the years. He bought the Washington, D.C., New York State Ritz-Carlton hotels, all of them, and developed new locations of the Ritz all over the country. I know. He's been named in multiple lawsuits going back to the 80s, which is par for the course for someone doing business on this level. You and I both know that doesn't raise any major red flags. But I do also wonder if, in addition to her kids turning 21 and aging out of that alimony and child support, did she also know what was on the horizon for Muhammad? Because as of November 2019, Muhammad claimed he doesn't have $500,000 to his name to tear down a property that city officials have ruled he has to demolish. What in the world happened? The long and short of it is that back in 2011, Muhammad bought a piece of property for $1.9 million on a hilltop plot of land in Bel Air. It's called Strada Vecchia Road. So for anybody who doesn't know, Bel Air, you've probably heard of, is an even...
The Prince of.
Exactly. It's a tinier, smaller enclave of Beverly Hills, which I don't think I realized that. It's like even more exclusive than Beverly Hills on paper, I guess. And the neighbors around this property were very concerned that the land could not safely support the plans he had filed. Apparently, you have to build these columns like deep into the ground to support a house that's on a hill.
Makes sense.
Yeah, sounds right to me. And plus, they were going to ruin their views. And I'm sure that it was much more, you know, environmentally and safety motivated, but they also were like, bro's going to build something huge and we're going to lose our views. So right. They, you know, filed all these petitions with the city. The city looks into it and says, okay, you can build a house, but it cannot be any bigger than 11,300 square feet, which
I hate when people limit me. Right? Like, that.
Like, don't box me in.
Yeah.
So, and it cannot be higher than 30 feet, which doesn't sound that high. But I don't know what a house is. I live in an apartment, but I don't know.
I feel like ours is 10 feet. I mean, like, I feel like sometimes I have to sometimes in certain
tiptoe and reach the roof.
I have to duck.
Well, this couldn't be higher than 30 feet. So it seems like a fair height then.
Sure.
It's like 3 one-story houses.
Okay. Well, we'll give them that.
And they said no underground space is permitted. So like no basement, no undercar garage or whatever. So it's unclear if Muhammad just defied the court order altogether or wasn't aware of what the builders were doing. But my guess is he very much knew, because he told Town and Country magazine, who interviewed him about this, that Bel Air will fall before this house will. That's a quote.
Yikes.
Yeah. So a stop order was put on the house. So it was never finished. But what was being constructed was the beginning of a home, a monstrous 30,000 square feet. So nearly 3 times as big and an alarming 82 feet high.
Did he think no one would notice?
Pretty hard to stand on the radar when you're literally creating towering a monster everyone. Towering yeah. over the whole neighborhood. And there were also several underground spaces constructed, including a 70-seat IMAX theater. So Muhammad's neighbors, I know.
I love it.
They were appalled. And in 2017, they filed personal lawsuits. You know, they were suing him. They were suing his construction company. They were about to sue the city. It was getting really ugly. And they demanded that the partially built mansion be razed to the ground. Razed, R-A-Z-E-D. But then the FBI got involved, because the federal government alleges that Muhammad's team bribed a city inspector in order to get certain ordinances passed and cleared. According to an LA Times special investigator, Randolph Osborne, he said that a city probe turned up evidence of possible wrongdoing by the Department of Building and Safety. Osborne, who worked for the personnel department, said there was, quote, not necessarily proof of taking bribes, but receiving items of value.
Oh,
sounds bribey to me.
But I know. It feels very textbook.
Yes. He testified that he had turned over information to the FBI because he believed there was a crime potentially committed. Muhammad, for his part, vehemently denies this. Now back to the $500,000. That's the cost of a down payment to tear this thing down. The actual cost is $5 million. And this is why I'll never be rich, because not only can I afford to like build something like this, you have to be able to afford to take it down if you had to.
$5 million
to take down this house.
But you have the Queen of Versailles is getting screwed where she's at. There, this is insane. Oh my gosh.
It's insane. So Muhammad it's like when Tom Girardi comes out of the woodwork during his whole fiasco saying like, I'm broke.
Yeah.
Muhammad's basically doing the same thing. This is what his public statement said. My reputation is tarnished. My ability to go out and borrow other money is fractured at best. I am 72 years old and do not have the millions of dollars needed for the demolition of Strada Vecchia. Also, when you can name your house.
I know. I'd roll my eyes immediately.
I may have, quote, paper assets, but there are substantial loans against everything I own. I have no liquidity with which to fund the demolition of 901 Strada, end quote. So Muhammad pleaded not guilty to the federal charges. He was ordered to do 200 hours of community service and pay $3,000 in fines, as well as many other hefty fees, as the LA Times reports. The property, I had to check, was sold at auction just this last December for $5 million. So I think somebody got a good deal, because, I mean, he paid right. 1.9. They got it for five. They're probably going to build something to fit what the city said they can, and they'll probably do really well for it.
Yeah.
The developer bought it and agreed to have the house completely demolished, and they will rebuild something entirely new. So it's a major investment.
that property has to be just amazing, because that's what, $10 million right there just for the property, really.
Just to get a blank slate to start.
Yeah.
Right. Oof. And there is actually drone footage in my research. I could drop it in if people are interested to see. There's drone footage of the house also, by the way, that he started and didn't finish. Ugly. Yeah. So, and seeing it in context of the neighborhood, it really is like he went in and was like, how can I just come in here and upset the neighbors? Like, yeah, it just doesn't fit. It was such an eyesore.
Huh.
Huge waste of resources all the way around. Yeah. So that is a little word about Yolanda's first husband. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about her second.
Our show has been around for more than 3 years now, which is really something to celebrate. But when I think back over all of our episodes, one that really sticks in my mind, of course, is the one about the bling ring. There were literally teenagers breaking into the homes of celebrities and stealing thousands, if not millions of dollars worth of items. There is just something so scary about someone being in your home without your knowledge, even beyond just having your things taken. And that's why when it comes to home security, I only trust my home to SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe isn't just some old fly-by-night security system. It was actually named the best home security systems 2024 by the U.S. News & World Report. On top of that, Newsweek named it best customer service and home security, which is really huge because if my house or the people that are in it are in jeopardy, I want to know that I'm speaking with people who are there to help me. We've had SimpliSafe in my house for several years now, and Rebecca got her system last year, and there's a lot of comfort in knowing that I have indoor and outdoor cameras all around the house. And if you aren't sure whether it's something you'd actually use, you should definitely give it a try. There are no contracts and a 60-day money-back guarantee. SimpliSafe has given me and many of our listeners real peace of mind. We want you to have it too. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/criminality. That's simplisafe.com/criminality. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. Mm-hmm. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
Okay, husband number two, no legal or criminal issues that I was able to find, much to my chagrin, because yeah. I kind of want David Foster to go down. I'm not going to lie.
I have thoughts
about him. He, I think, is my least favorite house husband. Hold on, that's bold. I'd have to really go down the list, but yeah. I don't care for him. What do you think?
No, he's awful. He seemed like he hated her the entire time. I currently think that Ralph on Real Housewives of Atlanta is the worst one. He is big time gaslighter. He is the worst. And that's Drew's husband. And he's like a love bomber. It's so much. So currently I think he is the worst. David Foster's top three for sure.
Yeah. He's schmarmy.
So gross. Yeah.
I sent you a link. There's a couple quotes I want you to hear.
Probably more people know me from reality TV and from being married a lot of times than from my actual music. Well, let's analyze. Because I was married to Linda, who was married to Bruce Jenner, who then married Kris Kardashian and had the Jenner kids and the Kardashian kids, and then I was married to Yolanda Hadid, who had Gigi and Bella, and I was married to Rebecca and BJ, where we had our own daughters. So it's very, very complicated.
Yolanda, who has been fighting Lyme disease for the last 3 years.
How could I leave a sick woman? The fact of the matter is, that is not the reason why I left. It was for a different reason, which I will never disclose. But it had nothing to do with her being sick.
So, spoiler alert, I won't disclose it either. I don't know. Like, I guess that's
what. Dang it, Rebecca.
I know. Trust me, if I could scoop that story, I would. He'll take that one to his grave, I guess. But, like, why does he have a Netflix documentary? I get that he has had a prolific career. But this feels entirely unnecessary. And he's just as egotistical as I imagined him to be. Even when he's like, you know, when they're like clap, you know, to like mark the like, he's just so full of himself. No.
Yeah. Oh, he is. He's. Yeah. I'm going to put him in top two, at least. I don't know who number one is. I'm going to say Ralph is number one right now, but he'll be number two. He's smarmy. Like, this guy would never give me the time of day. Just like talking to you as a human just would not.
You don't know someone or can do something for him. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think he does that. I did love the family tree of reality TV. Yeah. I mean, talk about like the 6 degrees of Kim Kardashian. Like, he's right there in it. But did you notice when they do that whole family tree? And then I married Yolanda, who had her 3 kids, Gigi and Bella, they pop Anwar's picture up. Don't even say his name.
I mean, he's kind of the Rob Kardashian of the Hadids. He really is.
And also Anwar.
Yeah.
The title of his memoir. Don't forget
Anwar. Wait, and that's what it's called? Wait, are you saying he has one or no?
No, no. Just if he did, his memoir would be "And Also Anwar."
Please.
So the reason I want to talk about David is because his story and Yolanda's line story really overlap and play out on her last season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And this is also the mystery I was alluding to.
Ooh.
On season 6, we learn that Yolanda is sick with Lyme disease, but not just Lyme disease, chronic Lyme disease, which upon researching and which included listening to Celebrity Memoir Book Club, our favorite
love it
podcast, they read her memoir. So we didn't have to. It started there. The seed was planted listening to that. Then I started doing some research. And according to Wikipedia and every source Wikipedia links in their resources and the footnotes, chronic Lyme disease, or CLD, it's a name used by some people with, quote, a broad array of illnesses or symptom complexes for which there is no reproducible or convincing scientific evidence of any relationship to the Borrelia burgdorferia, not the store Bergdorf's, infection, which is what you have to have Lyme. It's used to describe this condition and their beliefs about the cause. It's controversial among medical professionals. Now, what I'm not here to do today is say she didn't have Lyme disease. I'm here to highlight the story that she said she did and that there was controversy on the season about it, right? We remember Lisa called her out and said, this is Munchausen. Which is now what we call factitious disorder. Apparently we don't say Munchausen anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's such a fun word to say.
It is. Munchausen by proxy sounds like a party. Like,
I want to be invited to that
factitious
one.
Factitious disorder, red flags. Not so much. Mm-hmm. So I am not here to make a case. I'm here to kind of highlight the mystery part of it, which is like, does she or doesn't she? What's at play? What isn't? I would never take that away or give that to somebody who, you know, it's just not my place to say, surprise, I'm not a doctor. And I know that suffering from Lyme disease is very, very real.
Oh, yeah.
I also think there's immune diseases and lots of mysterious illnesses. It's kind of in the family of like fibromyalgia and other things that are hard to diagnose. And so chronic Lyme disease tends to get used when there's like an inability or difficulty really getting to a specific diagnosis. Also, there is treatment for Lyme disease, and chronic Lyme disease refers to, according to the articles I read, a set of lingering symptoms which can persist after the successful treatment of infection with Lyme bacteria. So Lyme disease is something you really test for and treat and be cleared of. But then if there are still issues, they might start using the words chronic Lyme. Now, if you watch the season, as I mentioned, Lisa Rinna brings up this possible Munchausen's, which we now call factitious disorder. So the definition is when a person exaggerates or mischaracterizes their symptoms for attention and sympathy, but are not in fact sick, where those affected feign or induce disease, illness, injury, abuse, or psychological trauma to draw attention, sympathy, or reassurances to themselves. That's from Refinery 29. I also want to say that it's very clear to me that she is suffering. Like, that is never up for debate. It's clear there was something like mental, physical, and emotional going on. And it's just the mysterious part is like, what is it? So the people that support her are like, why would she travel the world and put herself through these aggressive, uncomfortable, expensive treatments if she didn't have to? And she's also become the face for research and charities and nonprofits who are trying to find a cure for Lyme disease.
Right.
As I mentioned at the top of the episode, her 2 children, Anwar and Bella, not to mention her mom and sister and best friend, also all have been diagnosed with Lyme disease. So how... you could maybe imagine a possibility where she's lying about herself, but for all these people in her world, which is also very strange, to have it too, is weird.
Now, to confirm, Lyme disease is a tick-borne illness,
I'm glad you said that. Yes.
it's not something you would get from your mom or anything like that. You have to be bitten yourself by this tick with Lyme to get Lyme.
100%. It's a tick-borne illness that you have to get through contact on your own skin. There's no transmitting it. It's not hereditary and it's not passable.
Okay.
That's a great clarification. So I think my theory is somewhere that the truth might be somewhere in the middle, like it often is, and that there might be two things at play. As I told you, I do believe Yolanda was suffering. I think she had a weird combination of symptoms. I also think she had endless resources that have allowed her to go searching for something. And sometimes when you look hard enough to find problems, you find them.
Right.
There's something else at play, though. In my research for this, I learned that there is a ton of fraud going on in the alternative medical space where they're like, yeah, sure, chronic Lyme disease, it is a thing. Here, get all the metal removed from your body. Here, do this experimental expensive treatment in Bali. And people with money can do that in hopes to feel better and also in hopes of feeling better and healing these symptoms. So there are people providing these services, very happy to take your money. So what if it's a both and? What if she is sick, but people are also exacerbating it and feeding into it by suggesting more and more therapies, pills, treatments, surgeries, et cetera. Now, the other speculation, and it's rumor that can't be proven, is that while Yolanda did sign a prenup with David, as she said on Watch What Happens Live, Hollywood baby, because they asked her outright, did you sign a prenup with David? That was her response. When it came time to negotiate their settlement, David filed legal documents with the court asking the judge to reject any bid for spousal support with a one-time payment made in lieu of this. We will never know what that one-time payment was, but I've heard it is generous. And her quote was, I can't retire from it, But I don't think Yolanda ever wants to retire ever. So there is no amount of money in the world that would make her retire.
Right.
So he files this legal document and she really didn't need the money because actually there's reports that she earned $100,000 a season, which is pretty hefty. Yes. And she also had Muhammad's support and all her real estate investments and her own money. So the arrangement with David was that there'd be this one-time payment. Now, I actually brought in our friends Cash and Lauren from Allegedly Bravo podcast to weigh in on this, and they sent me this message. When you do a marital settlement agreement in California, you can either agree to an amount per month or you can agree to terminate either party's right to spousal support and terminate the court's jurisdiction over support. You could always terminate both, but it would be pretty rare and exceptional to only terminate one. Also, you can't do this with child support. If you agree to terminate spousal support, it's generally because both people earn relatively the same or there's enough money in the quote community that both spouses can pay their expenses and don't need support. So if you ask a court to terminate support and the jurisdiction over support, there is no going back. You can't come back later and ask for support. There has to be an incredible circumstance, like you don't have the mental capacity to weigh the consequences of terminating support. When I looked into the actual case law, it says there has to be a pre-existing case where a court ruled that leaving a spouse who is brain damaged ruled that leaving someone in such a state would be considered unconscionable. As such, the spouse, even though she agreed in the prenuptial to forego spousal support, would then be entitled to it. Example of brain damage may or may not be including unable to read, write, or drive a car within the past 3 or 4 years of the marriage. I'm going to play a clip.
Body. Since I was diagnosed with neurological Lyme disease in 2012, you know, it's been a journey. I look quite normal, but yet I'm so sick. Like, I have weakness in my legs, no brain function. I mean, I haven't driven a car in 3 years. You know, I've done stem cells, I've done ozone treatments, I've done holistic antibiotics. I mean, I've been to many different places where people are open to different treatments that are not accepted or approved by the FDA here in America. It's been like trying to uncover a murder mystery.
Interesting.
Right. Not being able to read, write, or drive are three very specific things that Yolanda mentions in this episode and also throughout her memoir and in public. Her symptoms started 1 year after she was married, and they were married for 4 years. They end up splitting up. David files first. He blindsides her. She does not see it coming.
Well, that's because she was in the hyperbaric chamber or whatever.
She couldn't hear. And something interesting happens. They get divorced and Yolanda goes into remission. She wrote a book, as I mentioned, called Believe Me. That book came out in 2017. And the current status as of that book was that I'm doing really well and I'm in remission. And what I couldn't verify is if Bella and Anwar were in remission. So we're going to move into something that happened more recently with Yolanda that is not illness related, but I just want to close that gap up on that story and say she obviously has documentation and medical records that something has been wrong in her autoimmune system. I am really glad to hear she feels better and is doing well. Yolanda herself talks to Andy Cohen on Watch What Happens Live about the possibility that there were more factors in addition to the medical symptoms and things she was suffering from, that there were maybe more things at play. And I think we've all seen that you can have a very physical reaction when you're in a emotionally unhealthy state. And she leaves room for that possibility too. So I don't want to take away any of her experience or add on to it. I'm just presenting all of these factors that kind of do create a little bit of mystery around what really happened.
Yeah.
Do you think psychologically that split wound up helping your health in a way?
You know, the emotional and spiritual part of healing is 50% of the pie. So the answer is yes.
Right.
I think that, you know, I never understood that that was a big part of it. But, you know, now on the other side and looking back, yeah, I mean, when you're not in a relationship where you're in sync and, you know, that could hold you back from healing. It's not the only reason, but it's 50% of the pie.
Right. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we move a little closer to present day. So today's story started in Malibu, California, but it's going to end much closer to my neck of the woods in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, which is just over the river from my hometown of Princeton, New Jersey. And this is where Yolanda had a new and very unfortunate reason for being in the press once again. When supermodel Gigi got her apartment in New York City, Yolanda also bought a beautiful property outside of the city where both her daughters, Bella and Gigi, also ended up buying homes on the same property. So Gigi now splits her time between her New York City apartment and this house on this farm in Pennsylvania. And she lives in that farmhouse, or she did until the recent split, with Zane, her former boyfriend and father to her daughter, Kai.
I love the name Kai, by the way.
I do too.
Cindy Crawford's daughter's name is Kai.
It is Kai. It's so pretty. And for whatever reason, like Gigi, Zane, and Kai, it just like sounds right.
Oh,
it's like that's the name their kid had to be.
Yeah.
So in the fall of 2021, Gigi was in Paris for Fashion Week, leaving her infant daughter at home in the care of her dad, Zane Malik. And as I mentioned, all these homes are on one big, beautiful property. So they have their own living spaces, but they're kind of communal in that they're on the same acreage. What happened next is, according to court documents and charges, but like most conflicts, there are two sides to every story. Allegedly, Yolanda came to Zane and Gigi's home uninvited and unannounced to help with baby Kai. Apparently, this really bothered Zane, who just wanted time alone with his daughter. He also was annoyed because he kept unusual hours. He worked on his music at night and he slept a lot during the day. So this was disruptive to have a person there during the day when he was trying to do his own thing. It isn't clear what exactly set him off beyond that, but the two did get into a fight, a pretty bad fight. Zane allegedly grabbed and shoved Yolanda into a dresser, which, according to the court documents that she filed, caused her mental anguish and physical pain. And there are also charges that he was verbally abusive, calling her terrible things that I won't repeat on the podcast in very crass terms that people can Google what happened and see the direct quotes. And in no uncertain terms said to stay away from him and his daughter. Zane brings Gigi into it by calling her during the fight, telling her, you need to grow a pair and help defend me against your mother. And so there was even charges that he even got charged with abuse against Gigi for bringing her in on the fight.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
I think the tone must have just been incredibly upsetting and traumatic.
Yeah.
TMZ was the first to report the story, and Zane said the fight did happen, but vehemently denies striking and pushing Yolanda. There were four criminal offenses of harassment to which he pled no contest. He was given anger management course required and a fine and 360 days probation. There was another witness, and it was the security guard. Zayn's quote is, "I adamantly deny striking Yolanda Hadid, and for the sake of my daughter, I decline to give any further details, and I hope that Yolanda will reconsider her false allegations and move towards healing these family issues in private. I had agreed not to contest claims arising from an argument I had with a family member of my partner's, despite my efforts to restore us to a peaceful family environment that will allow me to co-parent my daughter in a manner which she deserves. This has now been leaked to the press." And the "leaked" is in quotes, and he's definitely implying that she leaked it to the press.
Right.
So there is no word as to whether or not that is true. She has not given a public statement. Gigi has not given a public statement, except that she's focused solely on her daughter and healing, and it's a private matter. So it's just really sad. And whether one of them, the fight happened, and I think it's actually a very universal struggle. Like,
yeah.
A potentially overbearing mother-in-law, which I could completely see Yolanda being.
Absolutely.
Would never justify or warrant
no
violence, not even verbal assault. It just wouldn't.
Yeah.
But I could see her not really respecting boundaries. Zayn's boundaries. And, yes. Mm-hmm. So it just sounds really hard for all of them.
Yeah.
So regardless of what happened, I'm sure more is going to play out in court. I mean,
yeah.
It's, I guess, technically over. And then the breakup between Gigi and Zayn happened. And some say it happened right before that. Some say it happened right after. Hard to know. But it just sounds very uncomfortable. And totally. I don't know that we'll ever know exactly what happened. Although I could kind of see Yolanda speaking out about it in time.
Cryptically.
Yeah. Cryptically through like a veiled message. But that's some of the story of Yolanda Hadid, who now does officially go by Hadid again, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm just glad this story wasn't about David Foster, because he really is a piece of crap. And I'd rather not hear about his marriage to Catherine McPhee, who also has always irritated me, whether why? That's right
same.
Or wrong.
Same. And just I don't something know why.
I very specifically remember whenever American Idol was in its heyday and everyone watched her like walking up and kicking her shoes off and her being barefoot singing, and why that bothered me on such a spiritual level, I've never gotten over
keep
it.
Keep your shoes on. There's keep just no need. On. It would only be worse if she stage? Put flip-flops on. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my husband bought new flip-flops, by the way, and they're extra flippy, and it's just making me so mad. Like, I yearn for the days of the old ones, and these
that's
are like...
Bad. Yes! That's bad. Okay, well, Father's Day is coming up. Maybe we need to have an intervention with some slides.
Yeah.
I'll just send them anonymously to your house.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to look into it and then just lose the other ones. Whoops.
Oops, where'd they go?
I know.
So, I don't know. I find Yolanda to be a super fascinating person. And I liked and enjoyed her on Real Housewives. I also rewatched her seasons. And you know, she brought Erica on. I totally forgot
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And I don't remember why I know that, but something with Erica recently.
Yeah. And Yolanda, they met through their husbands, like David Foster and Tom mm-hmm. Girardi, like met somewhere, which kind of makes sense, like hobnobbing at that
sure.
level. And they were friends. And Erica was like very much by her side during a lot of these treatments yeah. in the beginning when she got her implants removed. I mean, we saw all of that happen. That was pretty gnarly, by the way.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention. One of the things she had done, she became obsessed with tracking her bowel movements during Lyme disease.
Yeah.
And she would do these like super intense colonics.
Yeah.
And you've probably heard this, that she.
I think on Celebrity Memoir, but I blocked it out. So go ahead.
She talked about the parasites that were found coming with what came out of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in her book, and I looked it up, and will not include this anywhere on social media, but if you want to go Google like color images from Yolanda Hadid's books, you'll see in a jar a 2 foot long, I don't know what it is, but she says it's a parasite, like a worm, like a being, like a parasite. Many people say that what comes out in colonics are actually is just mucus and tissue and blobs okay. of like shedding of linings, and isn't a living, I'm your face. I am so sorry to do this to you.
This is,
but it's fascinating because Yolanda gets really like she can't stop. Like she has like a factory and a lab set up in her home, and it's just jars and jars of her colonic excrements.
I can't. So I will say I had have had endometriosis like my whole adult life, but I wasn't diagnosed until I was like 26, something like that. I had had a lung collapse because I had it on my lung.
Gosh.
I could not find a doctor to believe me. And so it was absolutely maddening to go from doctor to doctor and just be like, I think this is it. And then be like, no, do you know how rare it is to have that? I mean, it was years of that until finally I have this terrible lung surgery where they have to like scrape and collapse my lung.
Oh my gosh.
Awful. But literally my husband said the first thing I said when I came out of surgery was, did they find it? Because it was maddening to not have people believe you. And I'm not saying this about the Lyme disease, but I understand her when you're like, I will try anything. I would try absolutely anything. So if it was Lyme disease and then other things that I think kind of like you become so obsessed with like everything is connected. So like I would get like neck pain and I would convince myself I had it in my neck or, you know,
sure,
because they can't really, and I can't imagine having her resources what I would have done. So that makes it a whole different thing whenever you're like, oh, well, I can just try these things. I didn't have those options. So I didn't do it, you know, but I would have.
And it's really, really scary and really important to hear your story because, yeah, I think a lot of people have had medical things and you know in your gut something's wrong and you have to like just keep being your own advocate until you find a medical professional who is a, you know, upstanding person and not a fraud to believe you and hopefully get treatment and resolve things. I think that does happen. I think you're exactly right about the resources thing though, and that this let her go on this endless quest.
Absolutely. Because you're never, I don't think anyone ever feels 100% all the time.
No.
So if you've got this thing that's unexplained and they can't really, once I had it in my lung, it was like, it can be anywhere. I mean, it can be in your brain. It can be in your nose. It can be anywhere. So anything that would bother me, I like for a long time, I would have a hard time like just being like, okay, well, let's follow it for a few more days and then thinking, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to go through the doctors and, you know, this whole thing again.
Yeah. But
I don't know. Whenever you were talking about that, that kind of reminded me of that time. I think it really can turn into a whole another worm or parasite because you just are on this search and it's such a freak thing. And yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, maybe you were just really tired or like needed a break. Like she like did operate at an 11 all the time. Yeah. Like she was, and she had a lot of help, but like she really wanted to be the perfect mom and she had three kids and we both know what running in like different directions for different kids things means. I don't know. Right. Like she probably did like live at a very high octane kind of place all the time. I also think when I look at someone like Yolanda's house, which is perfect and I want it and I covet it, I'm like, it is so good. I don't have endless resources because I would become a monster very, very quickly. Like I would fly to my kid's apartment with the art that I had curated and designed by whoever. And I would hang it on their walls. And like, I do my own like, you know, bootleg version of that now, but like with endless resources, you'd hate me.
God has to keep us humble.
Absolutely. It would
just be truly horrific.
Honestly. Just buy the Bombas socks.
So basically,
and we'll be happy.
Basically, Yolanda's a saint, is what I've learned from this. Because if we were her, we would be awful, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting.
Oh, all things considered, she's saint. A freaking halo shining. So, thanks for going on that interesting journey.
Thanks for allowing me to join you. That was awesome.
All right. Well, you're up next. So, do you have clues for me to not guess?
Okay. Okay, I'm just not going to give you anything.
Just give it to me.
Yeah. I'm just going to give them to you. Okay, ready? First one is MTV.
Okay.
Second one is Delaware. The third one is Javi. MTV, Delaware, and Javi.
I have Ozark on the brain, and Javi is part of the cartel.
He is.
No, it's not him.
Mm-mm. No.
I mean, I'm my mind's going to like Real World Road Rules kind of place.
That's on Paramount Plus. So,
Back in the day, it wasn't.
I know, but I'm trying to give you an extra clue to let you know what's currently on.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, they have like an island show.
Uh huh. You know, I'm all about that.
I know.
I'm never going to be able to give up Paramount Plus now.
Okay, so it's probably one of these new island shows. Okay, well, I'll keep thinking, and I look forward to that story.
Yeah, it's not an island show, if you're guessing that. It's not.
Okay.
Old school, not old school. It's 2009-ish is when the genesis of this show was.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to give you.
Okay.
But I think it'll be good. I hope it'll be
good. Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun and something to look forward to. What else?
Do you want to talk about what you've been watching?
I've watched the whole internet and all of TV. Yes.
I know.
I didn't work for a week and wow. Yeah. So I don't think we've talked about this. So I'll give you this one.
Okay.
There's a lot of options because I watched a lot. HBO.
Okay.
Owl.
Ooh.
Drama.
Okay. The Staircase.
Yes.
I haven't started it yet. Do you like it?
I don't feel like we need to keep dramatizing true crime docs, but if we're gonna, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
I think it is great. It's Colin Firth and Toni Collette. Yes. And surprise, Parker Posey.
Somebody I heard recapping this or like talking a little about it, and they mentioned Parker Posey, and I was like, hang on, did not see that in the previews.
Hold the phone. She's the prosecutor, a very unlikable character.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's so fantastic. It's really good. There's only three out right now. Unfortunately, I couldn't just tear through it. But I also had a really fun David Rudolph moment at CrimeCon.
Yeah.
So this felt just like a very full circle, fun thing to watch. Highly recommend up for a dramatized version. I would definitely watch the Netflix doc before, although you could get into it. But it's going to have a point of view and a bias. And I think, well, so does the doc. But good to know the story a little bit. But very curious how it's all going to shake out, how they're going to what they're going to leave you feeling.
Right.
Because I have my own thoughts about that case.
Yeah,
I think he did it. Yeah, I think Michael Peterson did it.
Yeah.
I do.
I'm sorry. I think the owl did it. And
you do?
I honestly do. I really do. I know.
No. It's not crazy. David Rudolph and his wife, Sonia Pfeiffer, are two of the smartest people I know. And they make a very compelling case for the owl.
And I would do whatever David Rubidoff said. So if he says it's the owl, I think it's the owl. It takes this much for me to change positions. All you have to do say, Melissa, no,
that's owl like me is with dumb. And I'm JonBenet Ramsey case. I'm the same way. I can go back and forth. I like that you're committed to that. Look, they are gnarly creatures who can look cute or like absolute psychopaths. So
have you seen just their legs? It's terrifying.
They're talons. They're monsters. They will mess you up. Yeah. No, I know that they can like do some damage. You know what it is? And this is not factual, but like Michael Peterson is a David Foster to me. The smugness, you can feel it across the camera. And I think he's the kind of person who thinks he's the smartest person in a room and that he was going to get away with this. And he did ish.
I'm with you.
So
It can be a both. It can be a smarmy person and an owl still is doing it.
Yeah,
he did have to go to jail. A little bit of karma there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want anyone in jail if they didn't do it, even if they're a smug jerk. Like,
I should probably not.
To be clear, like, hold on. Really not into wrongful
convictions. Thank you for bringing that up. Me either. I don't know why I was so quick to be like,
incarcerate that jerk.
Yeah. Prison for you.
Throw the book at him.
No, my bad. I don't mean that. But.
However, if there were a guy.
If there were. No. Okay. Let's move on. I want to check it out. I haven't started
it.
Okay.
It's really good.
Here's mine. Hulu, Mormon, Andrew Garfield.
Oh, I know this.
I believe in you.
Hold on. This is going to take longer than usual.
It's okay.
Because of my COVID.
I'll edit.
Everyone was just saying how much they liked Andrew Garfield. Is it Moon something?
So not over, but?
Under.
The...
Moonlight.
Banner.
Oh, Under the Banner of Heaven?
Yeah, Under the Banner of Heaven.
There's no moon in it?
Moons need not apply. No moons have been harmed in the making of this story.
Okay, so I was wrong, is what we're saying.
No. Heaven has moons.
No, I was thinking of the thing with Ethan Hawke.
Oh, crap. Okay, sorry, you didn't get this one.
Because he's in something with a moon in it right now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I thought it was, and I thought Andrew Garfield was that too.
All right, I'm going to give you some information on this. So Detective Pyre investigates the murder of Brenda Wright Lafferty and her baby daughter, which is awful. He uncovers buried truths about the origin of the LDS religion and the violent consequences of unyielding faith. So Andrew Garfield is this detective. He's interviewing this guy who's kind of left the Mormon faith, but he's also, his family was very deep into it. His wife is killed. His daughter's killed. We don't have to, like, you don't really get into that part, but so he's saying it has basically something to do with maybe leaders of the faith. But then they go back to the history of Mormonism. It's really fascinating. Don't know how much of it is true. I should look more into that. Here is my big takeaway. I am attracted to Andrew Garfield. I don't know when that happened.
So I know I got it wrong, but people are texting me about this show. So I also feel like I did know it when you said
yeah.
it. But like Under the Banner of Heaven, a lot of people are, oh, Spider-Man. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's Spider-Man. But I, but like Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man, not interested. Andrew Garfield playing a Mormon investigator. Is he hot? TVD. I don't know what's going on with me.
I'm excited to watch and weigh in.
Yeah.
I'm so also it does like, go... it sounds like a show I'm definitely going to like, but now I have like a really vested interest.
Yeah. But it goes like back forth to like when Joseph Smith starts the Mormon religion and all that. So it's kind of not like flashbacks, but they'll talk about some things and go back to it. And so it's pretty interesting. I think it takes place in, I would say, like, I think the 80s. Not I would say, but I know I saw a picture of Ronald Reagan on the wall. So I think it was in the 80s. That's how I, yeah. So anyway, but
no, it looks really good.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not like super fast moving or anything. There's a lot of dialogue, but I'm enjoying it.
Looks great. And I'm seeing images from it and I get it. I think he looks more attractive here than Spider-Man for
sure.
He's
like a dad. And
yeah. He's got good hair in it.
He has great hair. It's a whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that was the big takeaway for me. Like, am I attracted to him? I guess so. Who knows? Got to keep my husband off this end of the episode as well.
Anything is possible. Oh, just ban it from their ears altogether.
Well, he runs the initial audio. So as long as I don't say anything in the beginning or the end, I'm typically okay. But if I
do we need to add 10 minutes of conversation on right now?
It's just going
to
be silence. Because he'll randomly be like, what were you saying about? I'm like, how did you hear that? That was in the middle. And I know he doesn't listen. It's accidental.
I know. Oh my gosh. Well, that's a good one. I'll add it to my ever-growing list. And as always, great to be back. Great to
great
be with
to
you.
See you. Yeah. This is fun. We should do it again next week. So episode this week when you're listening to this. And next week, only one week, we'll have the new episode. And then we'll go back to every 2 weeks.
Forgot we were doing that. That's nice of us.
I didn't.
I know, because you're up. I got extra time. You got less time.
Yeah.
So sorry about that.
No, it's all right. I could have been responsible and started several days ago. I didn't.
Thanks everybody for listening. And we are just, thanks for the new reviews.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So nice.
Really big boost when you're sick in bed to read some of these reviews. So thank you very much. And if you haven't left one and you want to, feel free.
We can speak nicely about you as well.
Yeah, we always will. Never a bad word. We save that for smug husbands. we'll be back, next week with another new episode, Melissa's Story. And in the meantime, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Criminality Show. Catch Melissa on Tuesdays with Moms and Murder.
And you can catch Rebecca for more dialogue on dialogue, her show that airs every Wednesday.
Correct.
Sounded very aggressive there, but you should
Wednesday
listen aggressively.
Thanks everyone for listening.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Criminality. If you're enjoying the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and give the show a rating and review. The reality is it would be a crime to keep your thoughts to yourself.
And come join the fun outside of the podcast and follow us on social media. We are at Criminality Show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Memes are welcome. We'll see you in 2 weeks with a new episode. Until then, you can catch my co-host Melissa on her weekly show, Moms and Murder.
And Rebecca Sebastian on her podcast, Dialogue, a true crime conversation. Don't forget, loving reality
isn't a crime.